Welcome back to the Goalie Corner, presented by One Stop Goaltending. I'm your host, Michael Hales, and today we have Kendra Woodland on with us. Real quick, I'll do a deep dive in Kendra's awards from this season alone. Kendra has won Teresa Humes Cup MVP, Teresa Humes Cup All-Star Team, FISU. Roster gold medal, AUS first team all-star, AUS MVP, AUS playoff MVP, U Sport first team all-star, U Sport outstanding player of the year, UNB female athlete of the year, team MVP, ASU, AUS female athlete of the year, U Sport athlete of the year runner-up. But still, how many people were selected to even participate in that?
There was four female, four male, one from each conference in U Sports. Right. So you're a finalist. They say there's not really a winner, although, I mean, they do pick a winner, but there's a finalist from each, and to be at the top four is pretty
right. Cool. At the very least, you're top four in the country, right? Which is crazy. So a lot of awards last season. I know you've had many awards throughout your career, but what was different about last season? Also, Kendra Woodland, she used to be the co-host here in the first couple episodes.
Glad to be back.
Hopefully this doesn't take a crazy, absurd amount of time. But what was so different about last season for you?
Well, in August of 2022, I got cut from the development team, Team Canada, and it was a team that I was fortunate enough to play on in previous years, and just wasn't my time to play on it, and it was a bit of a tough pill to swallow. So I kind of hit this wall of, well, you can either rise or you can run, and I just decided to flick a switch, and instead of focusing on what I could accomplish, I wanted to focus on what my team could accomplish, especially with the season that we had previously, winning our first AUS title in just three, four seasons as the new era of team at UNB. And I just wanted to see where we could go with it and what we could do and where I could lead the team. And it turned out that I actually came into my year last year and said to my coaches that I wanted to be thought of and a finalist for a community service award. And then I went along and won a bunch of individual ones, which was not the plan. And I think it just goes to show that if you don't really focus on yourself as much, just more what you want to bring to your team and where you want your team to go and focus on basically being a team and moving as one, I think it goes a lot farther than focusing on what you can contribute just yourself.
Yeah, it sounds like you came into the season with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. But you turned it into you wanting to help the team success, right? The team wins, everybody wins, everybody looks good, right? Yeah. That's awesome. What initially, going way back now, what initially sparked your interest in becoming a goalie?
Well, I think we touched on this in our first or second episode.
should have gone way back.
If you want to like rewind and, you know, but no, I think, well, I grew up with two older brothers who also played hockey, and I just wanted to be like them. I wanted to be better than them. I think I've just always grown up in a competitive household, and I just wanted to compete with them, even though, you know, they're 5-7 years older than me. And that always drove me to be the best that I could be in anything that I do, just to compete against them. So my oldest brother was a defenseman, Shane. He got me started, basically. I started out as a player. I wasn't always a goalie. And I thought that being a player was all about scoring. And so I didn't really have the right mindset of that position. And then I looked to my other brother, Riley. He was a goalie through and through. So wanted to be a little bit more like him, and then kind of change gears to compete with him. So I've been a goalie since I was 10, and made the switch probably halfway through my 9-year-old season, playing Adam development in Kamloops. And Bought my first goalie mask halfway through the season, basically made that decision and just decided that I'd rather save pucks instead of try and put them in the net. And I guess it's worked out thus far. So
yeah, I'd say so. Throughout your career journey so far, what role models have you kind of aligned yourself with? Like, just an example, but for me, like when I first started, it was Cam Ward, Ryan Miller, turned into Jonathan Quick, turned into Carey Price, turned it into a little bit of Henrik Lundqvist, right? So who would be the role models that you attached yourself to throughout the journey?
Well, I think the first one, I look back and there wasn't much women's hockey that was huge when I was a kid. The first one would probably be Menno Raum. I think just whether or not I was a goalie at that point, it was just the fact that this was a female playing in the highest male league possible. And she wasn't scared of anything. And she's just out there and she's just doing it. And that alone, I don't think I was paying too much attention to, you know, the position, but it was just the situation of I can do what she can do because she's with the boys. She doesn't care. And it was just that situation that made me kind of click with that. And especially, like I said, being surrounded by competitive males in my family. And I honestly would just thank her for that just because it's awesome. I'm sure I'm not the only one who would be able to look up to her for that. And as I got a bit older, it kind of moved into Shannon Sabados. She was my number one, obviously in her time, best goalie in the world. And I tried to model my game a lot after her and just loved her tenacity. And she's just ferocious and didn't have any quit in her. And just to see that, I think the 2010 Olympics was huge for me. Sitting in my living room, watching her perform and compete was huge for me. And she was definitely a huge role model for quite a long time. And then obviously as I get older, you know, you're still with female, I think having those in your back pocket, but I've always loved kind of a mix between Braden Holtby and Corey Schneider. They're always my favorites. Corey Schneider, I think he's just very low key and I don't think he got enough recognition for the kind of goalie that he was. And I don't know. I just love the way he played. He's just very calm, cool, collected. Same with Braden Holtby. I think the biggest thing in his game is his box control and just his angles are probably the best that I've ever seen to be able to just watch that. I know you'd hope that a female would look up to females, but I mean, man, like they're the best in the world for a reason. So to try and model my game after, I think those four goalies in a bunch of different aspects of their games, whether it be mental or just physically and positionally, I think I was pretty lucky to have those four to kind of look up to.
I think it's cool that you said Schneider. He gets a lot of hate for the last half of his career, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But he was definitely one of my favorites to watch. Probably only goalie I actually liked from Vancouver. Whoa. Personally.
Holtby was there.
Oh, yeah. And Miller was there, too.
There you go. You did
say. I got to watch my words.
I was going to say, come on.
That's lasted longer than like two seasons. Out of the list of all the accomplishments that you have and you've gathered, what two, picking one's hard, but what two stand out the most for you? Like you look back and you're like, I'm never going to forget I did this or I'm never going to forget that moment.
I think I might have to pick three. I think one
that's
of
them. Fine.
Two of them are mixed into one. So the first one, honestly, achieving the U Sports Player of the Year this year. Obviously, you're in the league in a new team, and you don't really know how big U Sports can be just on the female hockey side of things. And, you know, you watch high-end players like Jade Downey-Landry won it the year before last, and we were sitting in the audience watching her achieve this, and we got to play against her and she's obviously, you know, for a reason, one of the best in the country. And I look back at, I was the fourth goalie to ever win it. So there's only three goalies before me, one of them being Kim St. Pierre. I don't think it was ever really real to me that I think that I could have achieved that. And I remember walking into my coach's office, she had called me and wanted to chat. And she told me about basically the first team All-Star, and she said, "We actually won Player of the Year." And I just remember saying, "No, like, you're lying to me right now." Because, like I said, I wasn't really looking to do that this year. It wasn't a focus of mine. And I think it was just a massive testament to what our team could do and what our team and program could develop over such a short period of time. So yeah, that was definitely really, really cool, indescribable. Like the second one, I'm going to say winning our AUS championship back to back years. It was quite interesting. Our first year, so last season that we won, we swept playoffs, which was quite a cool thing for us. We won AUS at our opponent at State Effects. So I think that was really fun to, I think, win it on someone else's turf. But coming in this past season, you know, we didn't go undefeated and we had a bit of adversity. And I think we needed that as a team and as a group. And me personally, I think I needed a bit of that adversity to kind of knock me down a few pegs just so we could just climb back up a little bit quicker. And we, I think, lost a couple of games against PEI in the second round. And it was interesting because we weren't scared at all. Like we lost a few, but it wasn't ever a doubt that we were going to win. And it was just, like I said, we were knocked down a few pegs just so we could climb back up. And going into the final game, the final series, we lost the first one at home. And I remember I have a teammate, Marley Vanden Otelaar. She says, "Well, as we just lost because we get to win it at home now." And it was just like, interesting. But it wasn't easy, I'll say. We went back to St. FX for game two and we won 1-0. And it was a close, it was a hard game. And yeah, I think it was set in the stars that, you know, we were playing a final game of a three game series in a playoff final. Winner goes, well, I guess we both go to Nationals, but winner gets to, you know, go to Nationals with a trophy. And again, not an easy game. Was double OT, and we ended up scoring a shorthanded goal, Lily George to Fred Sear, and put her in double OT in front of 1700 people. And to bring out 1700 people to a women's hockey university game in Fredericton, New Brunswick was just phenomenal. And I don't think I'll ever shut up about it, but it just shows the growth of women's sports in this country and I think in the world. So it was just really cool to be a part of those. I know I rambled on, but it was just like,
no, it's good. A lot of background, right? You shared why it's never going to be forgotten. The winning goal was shorthanded in double OT.
Yeah. So St. FX, they had a tough go. I think they were playing short. I think they were playing with 4D. But I mean, like, huge props to them. Like, they took us to double OT three games and they're playing with 4D. Like, it was just insane. But yeah, I think it was just a St. FX player, I think, shot it wide or something like that. And our forward just picked up the wall and it was a 2-on-1. And yeah, Lily picked it up on the wall, drove the line on the wall. And all I saw from back in the other end was Fred. And she was beelining far post. And I was like, she's scoring. I just, in my head, I'm like, this is it right here. And Lily had a beautiful feed right between the defense's legs, right between her feet. Fred, one touch, far post, in.
Moves it up for McLeod over the blue line. McLeod on her backhand, taking her time to get set up here on this power play. Over 50 seconds already expired on that power play. And here's an opportunity. Shorthanded is George. She's got great speed on the right side. 2-on-1 opportunity. Out front for Smith. They score!
Fred Sear! I talk about her all game, and it's Lily George and Fred Sear shorthanded win this game.
Fred Sear with an opportunity makes no mistake. And the UNB Reds are your 2022-2023 AUS Women's Hockey Champions in a classic battle here at the Aiken Center.
Amazing.
That's just fun hockey, eh?
Oh, it was so fun. And you know what? Like, the two goals, I mean, it was 2-2 at that point. Like, it was an even game. And I wouldn't say that that was my best game. Honestly, I'd be the first to admit that. But it was at that point, with the amount that we were playing in such a short period of time, I was kind of just trying whatever I could do to get the job done. And yeah, it hit a point where, okay, it's 2-2. I can't score. I can only do so much back here. So it's like, someone's going to put the puck in the net. Someone's going to win. But just trying to stay in that moment was, but it was phenomenal. It was so much fun.
I'm pretty sure all the breakdowns that are going to be posted on YouTube every Saturday, if you want to go check those out, are from that game.
Perfect.
So if you want to hear Kendra Woodland break down about 5, maybe 6 clips, go check out the One Stop Goaltending YouTube page, and you can hear all the emotion and her talking through everything here. Just as a little recap, last season you had 17 games played, 1.1 goals against average, and a 96 save percentage, which is absurd. Like, I see why you won player of the year, right? It's not like, yeah, goalie did really well and was 2.2, right? No, you dominated.
Thanks.
Which is crazy, because the year before, 16 games played, 1.6 goals against average. Drop that by half a goal.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's a lot of work.
A lot of work. So where do you go from here? Are you going to drop your 1.1 by half a goal again?
I'm not even looking at that. I don't know. It's a lot of pressure, right? I've thought about that. Like, you know, maybe I should just leave now. But something's keeping me with UNB.
See you later.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean? I think it would be really easy for me to say that season happened, that's where I'm leaving it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not even looking at numbers. I think I'm really excited to see where this season could go. Like I said before, the new era, all these players are finally on their way out and graduating. So we've got 10 first years coming in next year. And I think it was just my calling that, you know, I need to stick around and work on my leadership skills and basically teach them what it means to be a Red and what it means to be a part of the culture that we worked so hard to build over the last 5 seasons, and see where we could go with it, and just kind of be the grandma on the team for a little while. It'll be kind of fun. So
yeah, Grandma Woodland. But in all serious, like, you're going back to UNB this season, being a little bit more of the role model leader, like, let's be honest, probably the starter. Well, yes, the starter. After that, I'm assuming it's time to graduate.
Yes, I'm starting my master's in September, finishing my undergrad by December. So I will be still doing school, I think, after this season, but finishing up school, still doing school, but wanted to basically play out all my years of eligibility while I could, and let kind of things play out in terms of a pro career for me. So,
gotcha. What's the overhanging goal, right? When you started your journey, there was no female pro hockey. Now there is female pro hockey, right? So has your goal changed from when you first laced up the pads or strapped up the pads to now?
No, I think my goal is the Olympics. I think a lot of female hockey players can say that. They dream of that. That's what we see. That's what, you know, all of the history of female hockey players in Canada have built for the future of female. It's always been Olympics, I think, and it always will be until, you know, hopefully I am lucky enough to achieve that. But yeah, I mean, it's reassuring that, you know, there are pro opportunities for females now. There's a lot more.
Right.
I think it's just kind of a difference between development or money. And I'm not really sure that I'll be playing for money per se, first hand, but I think like I said, it's reassuring that there are those opportunities. You know, we don't have to, you know, we have women's hockey, you have to go to school, you have to get your education, because you have to work after. Whether you play hockey or not, you have to work after because you're not making enough money just playing hockey. And that's just the reality of it, right? So it's just reassuring to see where these leagues are going and how they're being built, basically to accommodate those players to be like, well, you might not have to work right away. You could play hockey for a while and make some money so you can get your feet on the ground. And then once you're done, or, you know, maybe that dream's fizzled, you can move on and work with your degree. But I think it's definitely come a long way. It's definitely reassuring.
A little off topic, but kind of a hot point here in BC, the BCHL leaving Hockey Canada in general. Do you have any thoughts or insight on how that's going to play out?
I don't know. I haven't kept up with it a whole bunch. I think I just kind of hear stuff through the grapevine and kind of what's been out there. But no, you know what? I think a good thing to come out of it would be, you know, for example, like KIJHL moving into more of a junior A league. You know, me being out in New Brunswick, their junior A is like our junior B, right? It's kind of that same caliber. So to see the KIJHL take that next step, you know, it might not be such a bad thing for junior hockey in BC. It might basically move it up a level. It would really boost that competitive level and that professionalism, I think. I think that would be a really good thing to come out of it.
Yeah, I think it's just an eye-opening thing in the sense of, okay, BC leaving Hockey Canada, I think, strengthened all the other junior A's, right? Yeah. AJ, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, all the way out to the east. For BC itself, we're just going to have a stronger foundation of junior B programs, junior A programs, whatever the junior A programs are going to be.
Totally.
I think it's just going to go through growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So.
Yeah, for sure.
Last question. Okay. And everything circles back to the crazy amount of success you had last season and going into next season. This off season, how are you treating it any differently, if at all, to get ready for this upcoming season? Are you more relaxed because that confidence is built up and you know what you need to do? Are you trying to go harder? Are you going to try to anything?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I wouldn't, in my own head, I'm not changing anything. I think if it's not broken, don't fix it, right?
Clearly it's not broken.
But I mean, like, you know, you're still going to the gym. You're still, you know, doing your on-ice sessions, your scrimmages, your goalie ice, stuff like that. I think sticking with what works is the most important thing. I think I just do the same amount of work. Obviously you know where you're at the end of the season. You take a bit of time off and then you can kind of reassess with where you're at and get,
do you see the flashes on my screen?
Yeah. What is that?
I don't know. I think it's gone though. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Hopefully you'll be able to edit that.
Oh, we'll just keep it in.
Can you see the flashes on my screen right now?
It's the true colors coming out.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think just keeping it the same. You know where you're at near the end of the season. You just kind of get back into the gym after a bit of time off after the year and do a little bit of self-assessment and just kind of get back into stuff the way that you would. And I'm lucky that I have a trainer that I can work with that can kind of hold me accountable to that. And I can bounce different ideas and stuff off of so that I can make sure that I'm getting what I need. Same with on ice. I'm really lucky to have that on more platforms than one, working with people in town, out of town, stuff like that. So I'm able to get what I need and be the best that I can be ultimately.
Awesome. And then any advice for the younger generation coming up?
Honestly, I just say, enjoy it. I think it's very simple. People say, you know, have fun. It just enjoy it. I think it goes by really quick. I didn't think, you know, I'd be this quick into my last year of university, and it's an extra year. I don't think I would have been able to graduate last year. I don't think I would have been ready to leave. So just enjoy your time wherever you're at, whether you're, you know, in house hockey, whether you're in rep, whether you're in junior NHL, like just like enjoy your time because it does fly, and just have fun along the way.
Perfect.
Thanks.
See you next week.